Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, tonight, let's go ahead and turn to the Hebrews chapter 10, right. verse 35. And we've been on this for a while. And I guess the title of this message would be, is your tank full? Your spiritual tank, not your vehicle. Your spiritual tank. Even in the natural, I always like to keep a full tank. Amen. Especially in the winter months. Joanne and I always, we kind of coach each other. We don't allow the vehicles to get down below a quarter of a tank. Because you don't know what the weather may do, you know, snow and et cetera. So we, wintertime, we keep it full. Well, in the spiritual line, in the spiritual scheme of things, we should have our tank full all the time. Amen. So we're going to talk about keeping your tank full. Amen. Let's start with our text. Verse 35, it says, therefore, I'm just going to read straight out of New King James Version. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, I have written down, if you break that down, confidence means boldness of speech. So you could say, and you could say this, hold fast to your bold confession of faith, which has a great recompense of reward. There is a reward if you can hold fast, if you can hang on to your bold confession of faith. Listen, there is a payday coming. And this great, in the Greek, this great recompense of reward is, if you look that up, is talking about payment is due now. Anytime you sow, you always reap. You always reap more than what you sow. They've been sowing. But yet we see here they're on this, you know, listen, trials have a way of wearing you down. Those long trials that seem to never end. Listen, God's not sending the trials to test. There is testing, but God doesn't send the trials. It's the enemy sending the trials. Amen. To sink you, to take the word out of you, to take your joy out of you, to eliminate your faith. So he'll send trials and he'll try to make them long as possible. And a lot of times we just go along with him. It's a long trial, brother. You know what I've been through. We start talking about how long the trial is. But hold it, wait a minute. There, if we'll hold fast, there is a great recompense of reward. We have a tomato plant. We have a big garden. One tomato plant on our deck. It's just one plant. But that one plant from one seed will produce a nice harvest. For one or two people, but the point is, he's saying you're going to reap a day. There is a day coming. You will reap what you've been sowing. Amen. He's telling these people, don't fling your faith shield. Don't cast it away. Don't throw it away like some garment. Hang on. The harvest is right here. But you can tell, listen, you can always, one of the first warning signs that you're low, that your tank is low, is what you're saying. That's the very first thing that's going to pop up. Because you start getting frustrated, the flesh starts setting in, and you start saying things is not helping. We took a vacation, it's been years ago when the kids were small, we took a vacation out west. That was a long trip. I could say a long trial with four girls in the back. Are we there yet? How much longer? Then I started saying it. Are we there yet? And Joanne said, no, we're still in Kansas. What is this? Is this Texas or what? Does this state ever end? But you'll notice your speech will change. At one time, you were doing pretty good, but it began to linger on. That trial becomes longer and longer and longer, and then you get to the point you just kind of get frustrated. That's a good sign that your fuel gauge is starting to dip on the E. You know what I mean? Have you ever ran out of gas in the natural?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
No.
I drove a Honda Accord. There's some things you never forget. I was driving a Honda Accord, and it gets great gas mileage, right? It gets about 35, something like that. And I kept putting it off. Lazy, I guess. I don't know. I thought, well, I'll fill up later. Then it got down below that quarter tank, and then the gauge is almost hitting that E. I'll get to it. I'll put it off. Then the light's on. The warning light's on. And I think even in that Accord, there was a little ding letting me know. So a little sound, the light was on, it's on E. I'm all right.
Yeah.
And coming that morning, I was coming back into Oakland City. And I was approaching the railroad tracks, and it has a little incline, and man, it quit. It stopped. Now, whose fault's that? No, I blame the car. You think I'm joking? I blame the car. Honda. You're supposed to get me 35. I don't think I was getting 35. I would have made it. So I found myself walking to the gas station. Now, that's a lot of times we blame God for things. Why is this taking so long? Well, it could be maybe because you're not too joyful. Maybe because your faith level is so low that I can't do a work for you. Maybe it's you. Surely not. Me. Let's read on. Here again, when you start hearing your voice change, you need to do a checkup from the neck up. Check what you're saying. You know it. You know, just by the words you speak, it's a giveaway. But let's read on. He goes in verse 36, for you have need of patience, or actually, New King James says, you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now that word patience, of course, patience helps faith, all right? It's a partner to faith. It keeps your faith consistent. But this word patience, if you look this up in the Greek, and I've known this, I've heard Pastor Mark umpteen times, but that's the reason why you got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing, right? Because sometimes it just don't click. But anyway, I looked this up in the Greek, and it says cheerful endurance. I thought, yeah. Their tank not only running low on the faith side, but their joy tank along. Of course, if your faith is going down, your joy is going to go down with, okay? Yes. So we'll just, but I'm saying faith along with their joy was also starting to deplete, going on the E. It says joyful patience. See, I can have patience. I can go down to Lloyd, and every stoplight, I'm obedient. When it's red, I stop. And I'm patient, and I wait for that green. I mean, right on down. I mean, it is like stoplights, you know, even though it's supposed to be express. I call it the stop and go express. But anyway, you go, but yet by the time I can go, I used to do service calls. I did that for 11 years. And I got to the point where Lloyd was not a good friend of mine. See, joy is something it's from the inside, right?
Yeah.
Circumstances in and of itself, you can have happiness. Let me back it up. Happiness is not really the same as joy. Joy is from within. Happiness is just based on circumstances, right? If I hit all those lights green, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of the circumstances. But if I hit all those lights red, I can still have joy because I'm not governed by the circumstances.
Amen.
I'm governed by a greater force on the inside.
Amen.
Circumstances in and of itself, the world's view of circumstances are happiness. For instance, they're happy or I'm happy if I get myself a Big Mac. I know Miss Phil's the same way. She'd get a Big Mac, she's happy. But as soon as that Big Mac is done, we're not so happy. Why? Because we should have had two. Miss Phil knows exactly what I'm saying. She's been there. She knows it. But so that's all based on just circumstances. But joy, now listen, now joy will produce happiness. Joy keeps patience. It gives it a I don't know, something about joy gives it a spring in your step. It helps you to endure, like Jesus, it talked about in Jesus, I don't know if we have time to even look at that, Hebrews chapter 2. The joy that was set before him. There's something about joy that works from the inside. It's a force that helps you to endure those long trials.
Amen.
Amen. So we see here, he says, you have need of this cheerful patience. In other words, this joy from within, which is the fruit of the Spirit, but also, listen, I've heard this in several ways, but and they're all right. One person says, "Well, the joy is the fruit of the Spirit." That's true, but you can also get joy from the Word.
Yes.
Jesus talked about that. You can also get joy by just being in God's presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. So there's a number of ways to get it. Right? So it's a force that works from within. So it's our duty, it's up to us to make sure we are full of joy and make sure our word level, our faith level is full. Right? Because listen, we are to live by faith. When you live by faith, you're always drawing out of the supply within. Out of that deposit, let me back this up. Jesus said, "A good man brings forth out of his good treasure, out of his good deposit, he brings forth." Right. I think it's Matthew 12, 35, 36, someplace in there. It's out of that deposit. So if you're living by faith, you're constantly making a demand on what's on the inside of you. You're constantly drawing out. And plus the fact we just leak out. There is a leakage. We're just clay pots, okay? But But I think mostly, saints, listen, we're constantly drawing out. We don't even realize it. You're putting a demand, which is what we're to live by faith. It's not a suggestion. We are to live by faith. And you're going to live by faith, you're going to have a full tank.
Right.
Your tank's going to have to be on all the way over, because you don't know what trouble lies ahead. I don't confess trouble, but honey, you don't know what's ahead. God's not, listen, it's up to us to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't know what next week holds. You don't even know what tomorrow holds. We have today, and today we are responsible to fill this inner man, this ground, or whatever you want to call it. It should be filled to the top. Amen. Amen. Well, how do we do that, Pastor Chuck? How we do that? He tells us right here in verse 32, he says, but recall the former days in which you were enlightened. Go back. Listen, if you're on your knee, this is what you got to do, saints. You go back to the starting point. Go back to the place, man. Remember when you first were saved? Remember the day when, man, you were enlightened. Remember the day, man, you came out of the kingdom of darkness and you stepped right on it over into the kingdom of light. What a glorious day that was. I mean, you talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It's just like, phew, the joy, the love, joy, and peace, it all just sort of came together. Man, it's a time of rejoicing. You wanted to tell everybody. You didn't want to keep it a secret. You were bold, weren't you? Or most of the time. You know, I mean, you wasn't ashamed of it. It's like Peter said. He said, I put you in remembrance. Stir up the things I've told you before. You know them. You've been established in them. He's doing the same thing here. He's saying, hey, you know these things. You've been established in the truth. You've already been through some things. Look at this. Verse 32, he said, recall the former days which you were enlightened. You endured a great struggle and with sufferings, partly because you were made a spectacle of both by reproaches, tribulations, and partly because you became companions of those who were so treated. Verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains, and what's this word? Joyfully. So we see right here, joy at work. That one time their joy tank was full. I mean, look what they went through. They endured a great, they endured a great struggle. I mean, their land being confiscated. I tell you, someone tries to confiscate my land, I think I'd get the gun out. They're way ahead of me. They endured it with joy, joyfully. But what happened? You go down from there, then to the very next verse. Time has passed by, and like I said before, those trials lingered on, and now their speech is starting to change. Their joy level has dropped down. Their faith level has dropped. It's changing, saints. It's changing. We don't want to be in that boat. We got to hold fast our confession of faith. I don't care what you're looking at. I don't care what you're seeing. You hold fast to your confession of faith, and you spend time. That's what we're going to get into right now. This, I'm going to tell you how to keep your tank full. We're living Paul said, perilous times. These are hard times to live in. Some of the things you hear, I'm at the point I don't really like to hear the news. I mean, I avoid it at all costs. I'll hit the headlines at a glance. And even that, I just want to keep informed, kind of a general thing, what's going on. But I'm to the point, I'll just keep my focus right here. This is what I need. The Word of God. Amen. Now turn with me. I want to show you. See, let's just go to Psalm 91. Let's just go there. Psalm 91 is one of those, it's just one of the top Psalms. Psalm 91. We all talk about it. We believe it, speak it. But here's the thing. Psalms 91 you got to get the very first verse down. The very first verse, Psalms 91, is sort of the hinge. It's all about fellowship. It's all about knowing God. It's all about taking time, spend with Him. Just like, kind of like when God would come down and spend time with Adam and Eve. I hope we could see that in instant replay. That'd be an awesome thing to watch. Think about God Himself coming down in the cool of the day and just talking. There was no sin in the earth. There was no problems. Everything was perfect. But God so loved Adam and Eve, He made them in His own image. They're a speaking spirit. He could come down and commune with them, talk with them. But you know what? Jesus has brought us into a place where we can do the same thing. We can talk with God. We can spend time with Him in the cool of the day. He's actually put Himself in us. We're in a better position than what Adam and Eve were in. We're seated in heavenly places in Him. Wow, isn't that great? Thank you for your enthusiasm. It's great, isn't it? You think about it. And this guy, I guarantee you, this guy right here, let's read it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This man, I guarantee you, he is a man full of faith. He is a man who is not only full of faith, but I'm telling you, he's got a bold confession. Because he knows his God. And not only is he full of faith, but honey, he has the joy of the Lord within him because he's spending time in the presence of the Lord. He has a fullness within him. He's not half full. He is full because he's spending time with God Almighty, with El Shaddai, with the Lord Himself. He is spending time with Him. Saints, you can't beat that. I don't care if the Colts are playing. You can't beat it. And you read the next verse. When I see that verse too, it's like, man, faith is just dripping all over it. There is such a boldness to that. When you know God, when you're full of His joy, when you're full of His faith, honey, when you open your mouth and speak, things begin to happen. He watches over His word to perform. He's eager to perform His own word. He's waiting for His own children to speak His word. Think about it. Look at this. It says here in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. See, he's got some confidence there. There's a boldness coming out. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Listen, what you speak when you're full of faith, when you're full of joy, when you're full of the fruit of the Spirit, listen, what you speak, He will do. What you don't say, He will not do. So a lot of people, they'll leave it up to God. Well, I'll just leave. Actually, it's kind of happened to me. But I will get to that a little bit, maybe a little bit later. I don't know if I'll talk about it or not. But God, what you allow, let me put it this way. I think a lot of times Christians don't really understand the term binding and loosening. Well, let me say it in another language. What you allow, let me put it this way. God will allow what you allow. Point blank. If you allow it is what it is, like I said that. If you allow circumstances to dictate to you, then God will allow that to happen. Right? But what you don't allow, God won't allow. It's kind of like when Jesus stood over mother-in-law, I guess. She had a high fever, I think Luke said. And they told Jesus about it. They didn't want that to happen. She had an issue, so they called on Jesus, right? He's right there in the house. So what did Jesus do? He did not allow that fever to exist. In other words, he stood, I think one place it said he stood over her and forbid it. Jesus didn't wait for God to do something. With his own words, he forbid that fever, rebuked it, and the fever left. Saints, we are to operate just like him. But to operate just like him, you're not going to be able to do it on an E-tank. You're not going to be able to do it when your joy level is down. You're not in a position to do much of anything. See, a lot of times I'm talking about lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle.
Right.
We keep ourselves full. And this man here in Psalms 91, he is full of God. He is full. He knows he's God.
Amen.
And he can put his total trust in him. What he says will come to pass. See, I'm not talking about, I made my confession. And you don't spend any time in the secret place in prayer. I'm not talking about, I made my confession last week and I made one today. If I have time, maybe next week I'll put one in there. I just believe there's going to be a breakthrough here. God's merciful. I mean, it's always possible. But more than likely, you don't know God. You're just trying to work a formula. I've seen too many Christians do this. I made three confessions today, and they're basing everything on a type of formula. Throw your formula away, and get in here. Get to know Him.
Right.
I don't mind steps and formulas. They have their place, but really, it all begins when you know Him. Peter or Paul talked about to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, to know him. Not just a passing glance, spending time with him. There's joy in that. I'm telling you, this is another good one. Let's go to Psalm 27. That's another good one. Psalm 27. I'm not going to keep you real long tonight. I'm just trying to make a point. Keep your tank full. And this is one of the ways you can keep your tank full is spending time with him. Fellowship with him. Get in his word. Not just study the word, but meditate in his word. It says here in Psalm 27, we'll begin with, we'll jump right on in to verse 4. Now notice here, verse 4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord," in other words, in his presence, "all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now, that last part, and I think the Amplified Bible talks about meditating and pondering and considering. I mean, really, I mean, it's just, he's not just in there to do, okay, I got 3 minutes and I got to go. He's in there, whatever. He's just in, he could get, those are the times you get lost in the spirit. You're not caring about time. Oh, amen. Come on. Have you ever heard the term, the old Pentecostals used to use this? Not that I'm old, not that I know. I heard of. They call it soaking. You ever heard that term? Just like in a natural. When I was little, my mom would make fill up the tub, you know, and she would put Mr. Bubbles in it. Mr. Bubbles, you ever heard that? Yeah. They may not even make that anymore, I don't know. Well, she'd put Mr. Bubbles in it, then I would go in there because I like Mr. Bubbles. And I'd go in there and I'd just soak in it. You know, I'd put put it on my face and make the beard, you know. That's about the only way I think she'd get me in there. But anyway, it's soaking. I think we miss out and we just spend time in His presence soaking. Not asking questions, not asking, no, just, Father, I just want to spend some time with You. Lord, I just want to soak in Your presence. Not asking anything, I just want, Lord, what's on Your mind? You, if you're something you want to tell me. If not, I just want to just soak. I know it sounds kind of weird, but y'all try it. I'm serious, y'all try it. It's called soaking. Just soak. Just in His presence. Turn the game off. Just soak. So verse 4 is a hinge. He's doing the soaking. He's doing the seeking. He's doing His part in being filled with the Lord's presence. Listen. Before trouble comes. Trouble's coming. But He's not going to be caught off guard. He's not going to be stressed out. He's not going to be wringing His hands. What are we going to do? I guess it's come down to this. I'm going to have to do some praying. I guess there's nothing else left to do. I have to call Pastor Mark. I guess, yeah, I'll just let him do it. It's come down to, no, he's doing this soaking, he's doing all this preparation before trouble hits. So let's read on. It's the hinge. If he don't get this part down, when trouble does hit, there's a good possibility he's going to be stressed out. There's a good possibility he's going to take his faith shield and give it a toss. It's going to be a good possibility that his joy will be drained. Oh, I didn't see this coming. Why come God didn't tell me? We get all kinds of, you know, I've been through a lot of things because I can tell you these things because I've gone through some of these things. But anyway, saints, you can be prepared for anything. Now look at this. Verse 5, it says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle." Now my cross reference says sacrifices of shouts. In other words, a sacrifice, a shout of joy. It's just not, it's a joy with a shout. Right. And he says, not just one shout. Well, I gave a shout. No, he says, sacrifices. Multiple shouts of joy. Multiple shouts of joy. Why? Because he knows his God is taking care of it. In other words, he knows some things. Kind of like James talked about, count it all joy. Why? Because you know some things. And when it all comes out, in the end, you'll be complete, lacking nothing. He knows something. He knows that that I'll give a sacrifice of a shout of joy. Yeah, I'm in trouble, but I have a joy about it because I know my God. I spent time with Him. This is not, I'm not caught off guard. Trouble's at my door. It doesn't matter. My God, He's my fortress. He's my refuge. It doesn't matter. A victory belongs to me. I'm not trying to get the victory. He's already put me high up on a rock. I'm already there. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm not trying to get there. Honey, I'm already there. Amen. And He's saying, hey, listen, long before the trouble came, I've been preparing myself. I've hidden myself in His pavilion. I'm there. I'd fellowshiped with Him. I'm good. And the rest of the world's in fear. Everyone else is in fear. They're running here and they're running there. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to sing praise. He goes on. Not only am I going to shout, but he goes on. I'm just going to turn it up. He goes, I will sing, yes, and I will sing praises to the Lord. That is a lifestyle, saints, we are to live. It's a joyous lifestyle. Whenever you can put God first. Hey, it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. If it was an easy thing, you know, well, who's not doing it? Just one person? Okay. Well, we'll get him. We'll get him fixed up. Very few. Even Christian people, very few can live this lifestyle. But you can. And I believe you are. But we haven't arrived yet, have we? There's areas in my life I can improve. I can do better. And now I'm not talking about performance. I'm not talking about, you know, why I can do a better performance for the Lord. No, I'm talking about loving Him. I'm talking about getting in His love. There's something about when you enter into the throne room of grace and with boldness, because you know the blood of the Lamb has provided a way for you and I to enter in with boldness, to obtain mercy and to find grace in a time of need. Saints, that you'll find love big time there. You enter that throne and you just soak in His presence, you'll find the love. You want love, you'll find it right there. Amen. You spend some time soaking, you'll find the love of the Father. Jesus will introduce you to the Father. I'll put it that way. Well, Pastor Chuck, you sound crazy. Crazy for Jesus. Hey, listen, living a holy life, living for the Lord is a fun thing to do. It's a joyful thing to do. We sit right here. It's a joyful thing to do. See, a lot of times we got to learn. We live out of this place, full of faith, full of joy. And then when the enemy comes, when trouble comes, you answer back. I said you answer back. You just don't allow things go on. Right. You have an answer, just like Jesus had an answer. You know, Jesus responded over and over again. He responded to the fig tree. He responded to the storm. In other words, He always had an answer. Right. He always answered back. When He said, let us cross over to the other side, no one else had an answer. He said, let us cross over to the other side. Well, the storm came up. He already gave them the authority. He already told them what to do. But no one answered back to the storm. They just allowed the storm to happen. They should have took authority and told the storm to shut up. That's what I would. I mean, Jesus, I believe He would honor that. But Chuck said, you shut up. See, what was it? I got it written down. Let's see here. No, maybe I don't. Oh, yeah. Go with me to Proverbs 15:23. Because when you answer back with the word of God, You're taking your authority and you're not allowing the enemy to do what he wants to do.
Right?
Right? It says here, Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Now that word mouth, I looked that up in the Hebrew, and it says two-edged word. Two-edged. Of course, we know what that means. Two-mouth sword, and we go on by. I'm going to get into that. In other words, he says here, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a two-edged word. So in other words, there's joy when I answer back with the word of God. Amen. Devil, you're not going to get by with that. I have an answer for you. No. It's kind of like when Joanne and I, when she had to give back 2 weeks of work back to the company. Let me say this again. She had to give back 2 weeks of pay, but we blessed the company. The company she works for, we call it blessed. It's not the company in and of itself. It's the work of the enemy, right? We're not fighting flesh and blood here.
Right. But amen.
So anyway, so she had to give back 2 weeks of pay, and my response was, if I recall, I said, it is what it is. And then I heard something else, like, I can't say it was God or anything, but I was sort of talking to myself. And I kind of heard this word, is that it? Is that all you're going to do? Then I responded, you know how sometimes you talk to yourself? Yeah, I guess that's all I'm going to do. It's like mowing a yard. I ain't going to mow the yard today. I'll do it tomorrow. But anyway, my response was, I guess I'm not going to do anything. But then I started thinking about it. Wait a minute. 2 weeks, the tithe belongs to the Lord. We got robbed of the tithe, our worship time with the Lord with their tithe, and the snowball effect. And I talked with Joanne, and we started talking. I said, wait a minute, we've been robbed. The devil has actually stolen what belongs to the church, the tithe. He can't get to God, but he's getting to us through other means. No, we're not going to put up with thievery. It's the work of the enemy.
Right.
This COVID-19 is the work of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's not from God.
Right.
And so we gave the enemy a notice. We answered back with the word of God. And guess what? There was great joy in that. Just like it says here, we answered back with the word of God, and I'm telling you, there's a joy in that. Because we don't put up with thievery, we will not allow that. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6:30-31, he's going to have to pay back sevenfold. Now, you think about that, if everybody did that, do you think the enemy would come back and do that again? What you just did was you took the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you issued judicial punishment against him. He took a hit. He has no choice. He has to pay back. We gave him a summons. In other words, we took it to court, and you can go on with this. We took it to the throne room. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus has never lost a case. So, you can go in detail on that. You can run with that and preach on that. But you see what I'm saying? So, yeah, great joy. Because he's going to pay back. Hallelujah. So, We have to answer back, and I'm not saying being picky, but there's something about we use our authority and stand up for who we are in Christ Jesus. And listen, we're not trying to get the victory, honey. We have it,
right.
And we have to enforce it.
Right.
And what we're doing is you, when you live a lifestyle, when your tank is full, your joy is full. I'm just talking about those two things right now, but you can say the fruit of the Spirit. But when we're full of the Word of God, full of faith, you can put a hurt to the enemy. And you spend time in the Lord's presence and you train yourself. See, God doesn't just yell at you. He'll speak to you in a soft toned voice. A lot of times it's hard to tell if it's my soul or words coming. It's so soft and it's so, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a soft, it's a whisper. It's a still voice. And when he tells you something, and then you can say, wait a minute, okay, I got it. Do this, okay, answer back to that, what the devil, see what I mean? You can make things that are wrong in your life, all of a sudden a turnaround's happening just because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. He's making some gentle changes about this and that. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. But it starts to add up. And things, the atmosphere begins to change, all because you had a keen ear to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because you spent time in the secret place. You have learned how to answer back to the enemy when he comes against you. See, he's not out to play games, saints. He's not out. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not out to play, well, you know. No, he's out. That's why he sends the trials, to wear you out. But I'm telling you, saints, this is when we got to keep our mouths, instead of keeping it shut, we got to open our mouth and say what God says. Remember Bartimaeus? How should I say this? If I get the story right. Bartimaeus, you know, the blind beggar, he heard Jesus was coming by. You know the story. But it is very important. He said this. He said, Jesus, he heard Jesus walking by, coming by. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. You remember that? That's covenant talk. Then they told him to shut up. Now here's the question. Are we going to shut up when the world comes and tells us to shut up? See, they don't want to hear what we have to say, but they're going to hear it anyway. Right. I'm not going to shut up. Right. And then he goes on and says, well, actually, the people told him to shut up, right? But Bartimaeus shouted all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? He kept saying it. He didn't say it once. He didn't say it twice. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. What he said, he held fast to his confession of faith. Honey, he wasn't going to shut up. Now here's the question. Are we going to shut up? No. We're going to keep our confession. Keep it going. It's a process, right? Pastor Mark talked about this. It's a process. When God said, what took 6 days there? God said, it's a process. He's framing. Saints, we're framing. We hold on to our confession. We keep confessing. We keep confessing until we have done framing. Until, like it was for God, it's excellent in every way. In other words, until it's totally come to pass. Then I don't need to confess it anymore at that particular job. What I'm working on, what I'm building. That project is done. But until that project is done, I'm going to keep saying it. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He kept saying it and kept saying it until what? Until Jesus stood still. But it took some confession to do that. He didn't just quit. We don't quit. Victory is ours. It's already been preset. If you can say that word, we're predestined to win. It's fixed. All you have to do is cross the finish line.
Amen.
He already declares us the winner.
Amen.
Now here it is. Jesus comes up to him. He stood still. And Jesus comes up to him and says, what can I do for you? And I see there's some people say, oh, you're the name it, claim it. Well, Bartimaeus did it. He named it, claimed it, got it. Why? Because he wouldn't give up. It was faith. Saints, listen, keep yourself. I'm closing, quitting. Keep yourself. Keep that inner supply. Keep your supply full. Your faith level to the top. Don't be like me in the natural. You're driving your car and you're supposed to fill up and you keep putting it off. You keep putting it off. You keep putting it off. And finally, I end up walking. You're right. Remember the five foolish virgins? What happened to them? Their supply was, they ran out. That's why they were foolish. There was no reason to run out. Keep your supply full, saints. And what I want to say is spend time with Him. Spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. I know it, but Pastor Chuck, we've heard this over and over again. I'm just telling you. If you'll make a sincere effort, God will show Himself strong spiritually to you in a way that you will know that you know I had a visitation from God. But you have to be earnest. There has to be a sincerity that I want to know you. I want my tank full. I want my joy full, and I'm not leaving until I'm full. Full of faith, full of the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to live it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.